Amen.
Let's just go straight to pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
For great mercies.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's been a wonderful time in your holy presence. Thank you for bringing our brothers and sisters together. Scripture says, unto you shall the gathering of thy people be. And we are here, Lord, under this called ministry. And we thank you, Father, that we are privileged to be this way tonight, this morning. I pray, Lord, that you have the hearts of the people connected to your spirit, that the word might feed them directly.
Amen.
Pray for everyone that is in a junction to hear the voice and take the right step. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let me sit us. Well, before I go into the message, I will give a testimony and bring you greetings from Brother Tuidraki and all the saints in Fiji. They greet you with warm Christian greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We had 11 full days of meetings, having two services every day. Thank the Lord for sustaining me and keeping my voice and giving me the strength to stand. And also the results that we had, people genuinely repenting, seeing the need to press forward. This year was not like the previous year. It was last year we had 98 souls baptized. All of them are there, met them. Some have been working somewhere, maybe they got a job and they had to go, but they were following on Facebook live stream. And a couple had some challenges here and there, such is life, but we are out to encourage them. Amen. This year we had 5 persons baptized at the end of the meetings because we were actually dealing with the church proper to establish the word of God and the faith of Jesus Christ so that we are not tossed here and there. Sometimes I excuse people to say that they really don't know what we are talking about. I will always take the position to say, well, Lord, I believe this person does not understand. I'm going to go into that because I want to read to you a prophecy that I got on the 4th day after my arrival in Fiji. And God is real. He has revealed himself by his son Jesus Christ and the 7 stars in his right hand. And beyond that, there is the voice of the archangel that is going on. It is the Lord himself directly with his bride. And that is very difficult for people to come to terms with. And that's why I'm saying I don't blame anyone who does not understand. But my prayer is that their eyes should be open before it is too late. So while in Fiji, I was on this particular day, I just prayed. After praying, my late night was very hot. The humidity was high, you know. And I began to look back home, Nigeria, Africa, the Middle East, India. I've been in these places, Vietnam, Cambodia, and then we are here in Fiji. I don't see anything that should discourage me in Fiji because the people are just happy to receive the word and they are coming. But my reflection was not just on Fiji, then maybe a little from Singapore, then back home, really, really back home. And then I bowed my head and said, Lord, why have I been rejected so much like this? You know, it happens. Mm-hmm. But you've come to, then I said, why all this rejection? Why? What have we really done wrong? That there's so much beyond the rejection, there's some form of hatred that's coming. And these people are not Muslims, they are not even Pentecostals. We have our distance. But right, those ones that we could embrace and say brother and say shalom. It was a very odd time. It was in the night, and looking at the time, then a brother that I know that is not so much versed with social media back home, he used to be with the 7th Under 7 virtual ministry. And not that he was just there, he'd been there, he's been fellowshipping that church since 1982. Strong bone, rooted, deeply rooted. His name is Godwin Bry. I can mention his name here. Godwin Bry. So he's got the message. So some years back, something happened, and one thing moved to the other. He moved down to the area where the church is, the location where the church is, in the vicinity there. And then he began to pray, because they were not able to go to the main church where they used to fellowship, that he was looking for a fellowship. So he ended up joining another fellowship there, and this was still almost the same group but a different one. And this, in fact, that pastor where he was fellowship with invited me one day to preach. And I went there with all my heart to bless the people, prayed about it, went with some brethren. And before he could give me the pulpit, I was seated just to his right like this. So he came and said, "We believe there is a fivefold ministry." And I said, "Amen." So you lessen the amen until the person get to his bus stop, his station. Because you could say amen to what you are not involved in. Mm-hmm. So he said, we believe in the fivefold ministry. Right. And I said, "Amen." Then he brought out the sermon of Brother Brown, one of the books, said, "This is the fivefold ministry." The Holy Ghost will lead you, will lead all the true family ministry men to teach directly from this. So I understood that I was invited to be mocked at. Then he said, "Okay, very nice." He used the term that he's going everywhere. He's going everywhere. That's what he said. And then he brought me to the pulpit. Well, it is not to everything that you answer. There are many distractions on earth. So I stayed focused, and I preached to the people the word of God. With respect to the one that God has sent to us in this generation, Brother Brown, I still say that the people who take his word back to the Bible are those that love him more.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Right.
Because we keep him in the will of God.
Right.
So, after the message that day, I closed my Bible, got into the vehicle, and my wife and I, we went home. After 2 years, I got to understand that this brother, Godwin Bry, was in that meeting. I never knew him. So, he kept asking this pastor some questions. And just like Brother Richard was saying a while ago, "Oh, believe it anyhow." Then one day, the pastor came to me and said, "Please, can I have your Brother Gant's message on..." He mentioned a particular subject. I remember, I jumped in quickly, I gave it to him. And I never heard from him. But after 2 years, like I said, that brother came to the church one day with his wife. I was not in church, and he was in fellowship. He repeated when I came back. I think I was in Lebanon when I came back. He was there. Now, this brother never believed in spiritual gifts. You just come into the tabernacle and then you only say amen as it went due. You know, be very formal, very, very corporate in the presence of the Lord. The program has revealed everything. There's nothing for you to, you don't even have a brain to think.
Mm-hmm.
So it went like that. So he was in a meeting and I was teaching, and he cried. Then after, I sat audience with him, spoke with him in the office. And then I asked him where he was coming from. He told me the story. He had been at home for 1 year, 6 months plus, even seven. Then I said, "Okay, how did you decide to come here?" He said, "I prayed. And your name came to me. I remembered that you preached one time in our church and your name came to me. And I said, Lord, if you want me to be here, let me have a free invite. Tell my wife, let her also follow. And they came. And ever since, that brother had remained. Something began to happen in his life. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in such a way that he began to prophesy. And his prophecy, once in a long time he will prophesy, but whenever he brings these messages, they are very tough and direct. So, that night, there in Fiji, this brother just wrote me this message. He wrote me this message, and I want to read what he wrote here. It was as if he was behind me, listening to my thoughts. God is a present help in trouble.
Amen.
Remember I said I was somehow feeling discouraged. I was well taken care of in Fiji. You know, if you've never been to Fiji, please plan to visit them. Amen. And they have a lot of good food. So, but you have to come and return back and do a lot of exercise to get back into shape. So this passage goes thus. It says, thus says the Lord, I speak to you, pay attention to my word. I am the Lord God Almighty. I tabernacled in the flesh and walked with 12 men. He said, many came to me and I fed them. They turned away and mocked me. Then he said, I brought 2 million plus out of Egypt. Only 2 made it pure to the promised land. Then he said, why do you pity yourself as to why you are rejected? Directly. I have given you a ministry, and that's what matters. You do not need to feel sorry for yourself because people didn't believe the truth, but rather, feel happy because you have the privilege to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Shalom.
Amen.
And it ends the message. So when he was speaking right just a few minutes ago, the thing went back. I said, oh, let me look for this message and read it to God's people. I will add something there, because, you know, I didn't want to read the whole of the message, so just the part. What I want to add is, I wrote down this point. The disciples of John that went to ask Jesus whether he was the one to come or they should expect another one. While Brother Richard was speaking, a voice asked me, did they change afterwards? After that day, did they actually change? And because they were the ones, in a sense, that instigated John to ask that question. They pressed. How come you're in this situation? And you told us this person was the Messiah. The Messiah is supposed to bring deliverance. And he said, you go and ask him. Because yes. If you leave yourself alone with the Lord, you will not be deviated. But many a times, opinion that comes from left and right, and we make the mistake of thinking that people's opinions are a revelation. So, this is also a revelation. It's also a revelation. There's nothing like that. Revelation is the precise information from God.
Amen.
And it cannot be against the mind of God.
Amen.
So, Jesus offended them further. If you remember when John died, when John was beheaded, he never went back to attend the funeral. Wasn't that a big blow? Of the one that forerun your ministry. Would you look at that if you were closer to John or related to John? Would you look at that as being ungrateful? He never went back. And many years later, Jesus said, a few years later, he said, the flesh profited nothing. And for the flesh, many of us are offended. The flesh profited nothing. When God sends you a mentor, when he sends you a leader, you don't have to like his face. And that's the truth. If you don't like the way he walks and the way he talks, you're going to miss out. But hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. There were many people in the days of Brother Brown that were ashamed of him. They could present him if they wanted a miracle. They could present him if they wanted this. But there were certain areas that they were ashamed because they belonged to a class of people. But they had to humble themselves. Because it never mattered whether this person suits your expectation. No. God sent. Your mentor will not be your friend. But when he leaves, you will regret having not used the best of time. May the Lord have mercy upon us. This morning, I thank God that Richard did not preach my message. Did you hear that? May the Lord bless him and give him strength and health in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that message that was sent to me is not for me alone. I believe that message is for the true God called Fivefold Ministry. Because as soon as we went to meeting, Brother Tui stood on the pulpit, behind the pulpit, and was saying the same thing. He was saying, they rejected me. He was saying exactly the same words that I said before the message came. And then I said, in my head, I said, he doesn't know that God has answered the prayers. He shouldn't worry about that. We're not to feel pity for ourselves, for people not following. It is in the hands of God to take out the people for himself. The most important thing, we strive to stay in line and finish well. The title of my message this morning is Thy Will Be Done, O Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds like Sam's prayer. Take my text simply from Matthew chapter 6. And I will help you go to lunch in a good time so that we can come back. I wouldn't want you to be heavy with meal when I'm preaching the second service. And then you'll be seeing vision instead of seeing me. The Lord help us both. So Matthew chapter 6, actually from verse 9 and verse 10. Two verses alone, it will do. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you. Now, the will of God is what God possessed. We are borrowing the term God, what the self-existing one possessed before time came to be. Because when we say in eternity, it means that time hasn't come. Praise the Lord. And God revealed himself, all that he was trying to reveal through the word of God was his will. When somebody says, I don't know the will of God, it sounds very strange and something as if it's very difficult to get. But the word of God is the will of God, as we're going to find. The word of God is the will of God revealed. The mind of God. Amen. It says that the will of God was what God hid. As long as it was not revealed, it was hidden. But when he revealed that will by the Logos, all things were created. But he will still need to make that will stay and not be broken.
So in the text that we just read, scripture says, thy will be done in heaven, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now when God came from eternity into time, tested the celestial beings which he created, he established his will. Now the will of God means that there is no argument to the revealed word. That everything in heaven will say amen, and there will be no opinion, there will be no individual private opinion as to what God is saying. But Jesus here is telling us that on earth, that has not been achieved. Even when he was there as God in human flesh, that will to be established on earth was not yet gotten. Amen. So it became a prayer. And the prayer has not expired. We're still praying it. Not to compel people to stay, to allow the will of God to reign, but in your own very self. Whereas we're going to be looking at certain things. Because sometimes we look at the bigger picture. If we come down and look at those little things, that we should talk to ourselves. Am I in the will of God? Now, for me to know the will of God, then I have to come back to the word. It's like when somebody gives a prophecy, somebody gives a dream, somebody gives a tongue, an interpretation. Whatever it is, if we bring it to the word of God and it does not stay, then it is not of God. Amen. Then it is not his will. Amen. Then it should not be established. We should not allow it to be established in our heart. Not to talk of in the meeting. Not to talk of in the family. Amen. Amen. So he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, do you see that as the same statement? Yes. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why is the will of God done in heaven? Because his word is settled. Amen. His word is receiving an amen. Amen. In heaven. But on earth, the difficult part for the people of God is to accept the will of God for the moment. We recognize the will of God for the past. We recognize what the will of God will be in the future. But when it comes to the moment, and God is the God of now, yes. He is the only one that is the now God. Amen. The present God. Amen. We are not thinking about a history. If you talk about history, it is because we are trying to bring history now to say that this that had happened is this now. But if we cannot bring the history to meet up with him now, then we are disconnected. We are not in the will of God. Amen. Somebody is saying, oh, is God existing? Yes, God existed in Moses. God was with Enoch. God was with Noah. God was with David. God was with Solomon. God was with Noah. God was, you keep mentioning, but what is he and where is he now? Right. And if you ask my brethren, God was in Brown. Right. What about now?
Yeah.
God is in the tapes.
Uh-huh.
It's a big offense.
Right.
It's a big issue for them to come to terms. And there is a lot, just this big hypocrisy that is being played. I'm going to take my time to mention them as I'm able to in my simple words. Amen. Now, I wrote something. He said, God successfully established his will in heaven after he put out Lucifer, turned Satan. When the rebellion broke, it was not the very moment the rebellion broke out that the war broke out. Because he appeared before the Lord. God, the way he acts with us, he has always been like that. Praise the Lord. Whereby some of us will feel that as long as God is not saying anything, I am right. But we should know better, knowing that if you are doing certain things wrong, and you see God being quiet. The quietness of God does not mean that judgment is averted. He's only giving you space to repent. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And when you are not able to come to repentance, warning has come. Once mercy has been given to you and you reject the mercy of God, there is no other thing that will happen than judgment. It's going to come. But it looks as though that God is slow. If some people say, oh, if you are on the favorable side, maybe something is happening and you say, God, why not judge these people the way they are acting? Like it was in those days. These Philistines, why not wipe them out at once? And he will be coming gradually, slowly, slowly, until the day of reckoning. Amen. God is not slow. He is there to fulfill his will. Paul calls something the good pleasure of his will. He is there to fulfill that. And the earlier you believe and reason to that angle, the better for you. Because if you are always running in front of the Lord, you run into trouble. We need to wait. Where he stops, we stop. Where he turns, we turn. So that we don't try to form our own opinion or try to doctor God. No one can counsel him. No one can advise him. He says, no one has given to him that he has not given back. If you never had life, you will not talk about exercising certain duties before the Lord. So we don't need to go ahead of him. We just need to follow and follow by his word. Amen.
Amen.
So, the God of heaven emptied his will into the word of God, into his word. That is his revelation. And that word began to create. Everything he created, he said it was good. But look at this. How come there was an opposition to the will of God? Lucifer, something was dropped in him by God. And that was his will. It was what God wanted to do away with. And he put it in him as a time bomb. And as he began to manifest, we must be careful of gifts. We must be careful of being generally accepted. It has never been the way of God. Elijah was not as popular as you think. In Israel, he was not accepted as we think, as we read today. Oh, the God of Elijah, the God of Elijah. Few people said that. And it was maybe only one person, maybe Elisha, that was saying that. Aside from Elisha, he was not a very popular person as we read today. Because if he were popular as we think, the Baal would not have so much power and followers. It took Elijah to go to Mount Carmel to convince Israel who the true God was. But what was the difference? The worship of Baal was similar to the worship of Jehovah. They sang, they clapped, they offered sacrifices, they had priests, and the Jehovah had priests, and everything was just going on same. But the vindication was with Elijah.
Amen.
So it was with Moses.
Amen.
Balaam was there. Balaam was more popular than Moses. Balaam could be invited by kings. Oh, people say, oh, because I'm widely accepted, it means that God is with me. Balaam could be invited by kings. Balaam could have a handshake with people of notable position. And they could call him to curse and bless. He had the ministry to curse and to bless. But Moses was in his corner. But the pillar of fire identified with Moses.
Amen.
Now the will of God will always be in thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You can trace the will of God back to thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Not in the successes that people can count. Oh God, he's given us so much. We're able to do this and do that. It's good. But the will of God is in the word of God.
Amen.
Thy will be done on earth. It's not whether my brother or my sister is doing the will. I should check myself.
Right.
If I am in the will and doing the will.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, God's will being settled, no arguments in heaven. But the human nature is known to resist. We resist the will of God. Why do we resist the will of God? There is darkness. And darkness has to do with the religious mind. When a thing is not the way it should be to us, then it is not correct. In a sense, if we are offended by something, then that thing is wrong. But a careful look, is it true? Is it supposed to be like that? Do you know that one of the things that I find in life, if you can be in a good mind when you are corrected, your true character is known when you are corrected.
Amen.
When somebody looks at you to the face and say you are wrong, what happens? What goes in within you? Are you able to say, oh yes, I'm wrong? Are you able to say, wow, thank you for telling me that I was wrong?
Right.
Or even if for that, so can I see where I was wrong? Where, how am I wrong? Then the person puts it to you, he said, oh, thank you for showing me.
Amen.
It is difficult. Some people will go home and wait for 1 week. Then, after 1 week, they come to say, well, it's just your opinion. I was right and you also right. Let's take it that way. So that they are never brought down. But you see, anything that is not brought down cannot be lifted up. God comes to humble us, crush our ego, that we might walk in His will. If we don't allow that ego to be crushed, then we are kind of antagonizing the word of God. Without knowing, we could be sincere. We could do good works. But that is not taking the place of the will of God. The rich man and Lazarus, the story that was told. The rich man was not a bad fellow. He was a philanthropist, a kind man in the society, doing good works. He was in a church. Amen.
Amen.
But the will of God does not look at those things. God is blind to everything but open to His word. He will defend His word 100%. And when you take 100%, what is left? Nothing. If you are not in the will of God, it is said, God sees you as one trying to lead Him. Especially when you have a religious spirit.
Right.
And who will accept that he or she has got a religious spirit? So, there's a story of the Jewish people, elders, bringing a woman in John chapter 8. They drag her by the hair, pull her, throw her in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the case? They called him Rabbi. Now, why do you call him Rabbi when you don't take his teachings? Why do you say Pastor when you don't believe? Amen. Rabbi, we have taken this woman in the very act of adultery. Is that correct? If it was in the very act, then there should be two.
Right.
So where's the other person?
Mm-hmm.
No, he has escaped. So we have brought her, in their mind, we have brought her here to find the culprit. And that is you. They are looking for how to catch him. How would they catch him? They knew that this man is bringing a teaching that seems different from that of Moses. And they claimed to believe Moses, the very Moses that their fathers revolted against. You know the father revolted against Moses?
Right.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
It was not easy for Moses. I never prayed to be in his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
to lead the people they are seeing day to day, and then these people are having about 2 million people, and everyone, one person just say, oh, I was bitten by a mosquito. Everybody shouted. Even the one that never saw the mosquito said, I was bitten. The mosquito bit me in the eyes. They are shouting just to be against him. Now, why did they do this? They came to Jesus to hear from him. If they wanted to kill the woman, they would have done it before without asking him. But they wanted to trap him. So they came to Jesus. Our Lord said this. What do you say? So brethren, now, let us think the other way. What if Jesus said, kill her, stone her to death? Do you know what would happen? Jesus have set their mind. Then he will have nothing to preach. If you can agree that she should be stoned, then keep the laws the way Moses asked us to do. There is no need for a preacher. We have the law. And the teachers of the law were known. They were just there to read the law from one place to the other. And they closed the book. They read the law every Sabbath. We don't need no teacher. But God was fulfilling his word. He was bringing the fullness of the word. And that was offending religion. That same religion worked with God for some time. But it was not the perfect thing. When perfection came, everything ought to submit. And what is perfection? When the Lord is talking to his people directly. When the husband is with the wife directly. There are no witnesses. It is between the wife and her husband. And here is God and his people.
Amen.
So they said to him, our Lord says she should be stoned. What do you say? What does it matter? What he says? You already know what the law says. Do what the law says. The law was not even good with them. They were not able to keep it. And they got offended because coming to him, they knew they would be offended. He stooped down, you know the story, and wrote. I'm sure that went straight to their hearts. They were convicted in their hearts. And they left their stones down and went away. But did they change? He didn't ask them not to kill her. But after that day, did they change?
Right.
I preached in Paris, in the church of Brother John Marie. And I had this other minister came up. Two things happened that day. As I was teaching, a young man stood up from the second row and he was running to come and correct me. Right on the pulpit. The Brother Brown never said something like that. Brother Brown never thought that. We don't need it. As he came, hurrying to the podium, I left the podium, I was standing this way. And he came that way. Somehow, the speaker wire caught him. And he flipped and fell, bam, on the floor. The camera was still going. And I picked him up and said, that's not a coincidence. It wasn't. Maybe you've been running to correct preachers like that in the past. But this one, you've been touched. He was so folded and he went back and sat down. After the meeting, another preacher came. He said, very nice. He mentioned that experience and he said, what you preach was true.
Amen.
It is the truth. Don't celebrate about that. So since it is the truth, and it's different from what you preach, have you changed?
Right.
So even if it's true, what am I going to do about it? God does not need people to appreciate him.
Amen.
He doesn't need appreciation.
Right.
Oh, that was nice. You pat him at the back. That was nice. Oh Lord, keep it up. And you go away. That's not what he wants.
Right.
He wants fellowship. And for you to come in that fellowship, to keep his will, you have to be separated from every other thing. We Most of us can't afford to risk it. We love the Lord with our mouth, but our heart is far from it.
Amen.
We love the Lord with our mouth. And that's what is going on today in what we call the end time message world. People meet together, oh brother, oh you remember that morning Brother Brown was coming down from Arizona to Tucson. Oh brother, you remember that day, you know, the little girl? Oh, you remember the boy in Finland? That's not the word of God. It is not. I also recognize those testimonies, but it's not the word of God. You know what Brother Brown said there? You know what, brother? That's still not the word of God. If it does not do anything in your life, it is not the word of God.
Yes.
If it does not point you, because if it does not point you to the Messiah, to the word of God, it is not the word of God.
Yes.
The man preached 100% does say the Lord.
Yes.
But it is on paper. It will do you no good until it gets into your life. And when it gets into your life, it's going to lead you somewhere, because the light of God does not stop. The light travels. So if the light has been traveling, where is the light now? Where has the light led us to?
That's true.
Where has it led us to?
The word.
Thy will, O Lord, be done forever. Where has it led us to? Amen.
Amen.
Please pardon me. Taking my point simply. If you look at Philemon verse 8 down, story of Onesimus. I want to show you something. Philemon had a church in his house. He lived in Colossae. The church, the Colossian church, was in his house. Amen. And he was a nobleman and had slaves. Very wealthy person. And he was one of the sponsors of Brother Paul's ministry. Amen. And you know, at the beginning of the ministry, Paul was preaching, and he never offended the business of Philemon. He never offended the structure of his household, and that's how it should be. We don't force things on people. We allow the Lord to lead them, because it will come to that spot. So something happened that one of Philemon's slaves, Onesimus, stole his money and ran away. Okay. Now, as God will have it, Paul, a prisoner, was taken by the Roman soldiers, and they were going to Rome, and that young man was also running, and they met somewhere. And Paul cornered him and began to preach to him, and Onesimus believed. But he had one task to do. If you fall in a place, that's where you're going to rise up from. Naturally, if I fall down here, you cannot carry me downstairs to rise up from there. You help me stand here. Amen.
Amen.
So, Onesimus, you have one thing to do. Go back to your master. And he wished everything in the world except that. You know what it is.
Yeah.
And the master was hot. And people were talking, maybe his wife and friends, business colleagues, they were hot and they were angry because of Onesimus. Stringent measures have been taken against other slaves that never ran before. But as Philemon, as Onesimus will be going back, Paul took a paper and asked a brother to write. And he wrote this letter, Philemon. He wrote this letter, which became a book in the Bible, to be taken back by the runaway slave and thief to his master. Now, look at the address. I'm just going to go straight to where I'm reading. From verse 8, it just says, wherefore, though I might Be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent thee again. Thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I will have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without my mind will I do nothing, that by benefits should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother and beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Let me stop here. The will of God is centered only on his word.
Right?
That which is given to us. Now, Paul came into the life of Onesimus, not as a businessman, but as a preacher. Philemon. And Philemon recognized the grace of God in Paul's life. I want you to compare, if it were you, if you would be able to act thus, same. None of us have seen the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, he will tell you that you have seen him many times. We see him in our brothers and sisters. We act to him in our brothers and sisters. Beyond that, we see him in the ministry he has given. Maybe it does not occur to us. We see him in the ministry he has given, and that's very sensitive. So, Paul wrote to a master that has been wounded, that has been insulted, as though nothing happened. I'm sending you back this Onesimus. He was unprofitable to you, now it's going to be profitable. He is already concluding. He does not consider the gravity and the pain that the family has suffered. He's already he's concluding that he was unprofitable to you, and now he's going to be profitable to you, both in flesh and in spirit. If a son that I have begotten in my chains, so he's putting forth his chains before the situation. And I want you to look at me. I'm not talking to you as somebody that you've known anywhere, but remember that I am Paul the aged. And remember that I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And why am I a prisoner of Jesus Christ? If it was not for your sake to preach Christ. For if I denounce what I believe, my bones will go.
Amen.
Yes, the Jews will say, so he has recounted, come back, sin no more, preach no more in that name. And everything will be fine. But for your sake, that the grace of God was given to me, Paul, for the Gentiles' sake, I am in bonds.
Right.
And then he said to Onesimus, if you count me to be a partner, receive him as myself. Now, what that means is, when Paul visited Philemon, and Philemon gave him a particular room because it was Paul, Philemon is bound to give that room to Onesimus, a runaway slave.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find that? How many of us can take that?
Mm.
It was a single letter. And Onesimus responded.
Right.
But how many of us have been offended, and we have talked to
we have called on the phone, and we are considering to forgive in the millennium. Or we are considering that, don't worry, when the Lord comes, He will fix this matter. Mm-hmm. As far as this earth is concerned, this matter is unfixable. Mm-hmm. And yet we have not lost money. We have not lost life. It was just a bruise of ego. Thy will be done on earth. That is, let the earth say amen to the word of God.
Amen.
Philemon simply said amen. He was crying. It was painful. It was insulting. Because other slaves saw, is he making it so easy for the slaves to now steal and run away? That Onesimus came, fell on his face to the ground. And Onesimus, having seen the letter, he was vibrating. I'm going to cut you into pieces. You have dealt with me badly. I've got to pay the money I sent you to give to somebody. I've got to pay double. I'm going to deal with you. And then he only raised up the letter. The word.
Amen.
Amen. And Philemon took it from him and began to read it. After reading, he didn't go in to think about it. He stood there, and for the regard he had for Jesus Christ. But where did he know Jesus Christ? If not the ministry of Paul.
Right.
Now God is a God of order. No matter how you pray, in the Old Testament, you've never seen a woman take a lamb, take a knife, put on the altar, and sacrifice unto the Lord. It never happened. And no Israelite did, except it was from the family of the Levitical order, the Levites. From the tribe of Levi. That was order. But in this generation, when the kingdom of heaven was expressed to mankind, God sent 7 messengers in their respective ages. And the last being the angel, the voice of the angel, of the voice of the 7th angel, which is William Brown Graham, manifested in William Brown Graham. And soon as that voice came up with the shout, which is still running, any day that somebody hears outside and comes out of Babylon, the shout ministry has hit it. It's still running. Now, but when the shout brings you out and you come in, amen?
Amen.
There is time to know what you were called for.
Right.
And that's why Paul, when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 1, since it is the word of God directly, if you read it today, it's as fresh and clear, fresh oil, as it was from the day it was written.
Amen.
That God, in these last days, has chosen to speak to us through His Son, Amen. Whom He had appointed heir of all things.
Right.
So it will remain. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, therefore, the dead in Christ. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ.
Amen.
But in Christ is not a statement. It's reality.
Amen.
When you come into Christ,
Amen.
Then it means that you allow the will of God to settle.
Amen.
Follow the word of God.
Amen.
But someone who is not following the word of God, how can he lead you to follow the word of God?
Amen.
We don't know what to follow. There are many sheep without a shepherd. There is confusion in the land. As I'm talking to you, I'm seeing Africa. I'm seeing India. Philippines. People just wake up and get that knowledge. And they go to do their thing. But you know,
the messenger that God never sent will not account to him. I say that again. The messenger that God never sent will not account to God.
Right.
If I didn't send you to my family, I cannot ask you about the family. And when he said, unto me shall the gathering of my people be,
right,
that's the will of God.
Right.
So, Onesimus, having stolen and run away, was sent back. And those few lines, you can see the book of Philemon is so short.
Right.
But he shook Philemon from his foundation. And he recognized the ministry of Christ in Paul. He accepted.
Amen.
Paul was not there. It was just a mere writing. He could have claimed that it was forged. But he knew the voice of his pastor. He didn't need to feel well with that. But he needed to comply because of the love he had for Christ. For Christ's sake. For the sake of Christ, I submit. Brethren, God does not want us to follow a ministry without submitting. He wants us to follow. He wants us to submit. He wants us to know what we are talking about. And talk about it. When you meet people out there and they swear the word of God this way and corner it the other way, what do you say? What do you say to it? You are the one to manifest the will of God in your corner. And that will of God is that the word of God should be lifted high above everything.
Right.
Paul warned Apollos, do not. He warned the Corinthians. Said, I spoke with Apollos for concerning this matter. Let us not lift up any man above that which is written. You guys should read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says here, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of us, no one of you be puffed up one for against another. For who maketh thee different, or who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? There are many things that is starting on the underground amongst us. And I'd like to ask you, I'm going to answer it, I'm not asking you to answer. The ministry of Brother Paul, was it given to Paul, or Paul gave himself? Did Paul find it, or it was given to him? It was given to Paul by Christ. Is that true? Amen. So that brings Paul under Christ.
Amen.
And the ministry, the message of Paul will be Christ.
Amen.
And Paul fulfilled his ministry.
Amen.
But in the days of Paul, did everybody accept him?
No. Mm-hmm.
The whole did not accept. Jesus had people following him. Even while he was still ministering, many went away. When he said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they were offended. And they went back. Not everyone accepted him. But let us look at something. It was God that dealt with Luther in his way. The much he gave to him, it was okay for that time. Because when you have so much thick darkness, you don't have to pour all the light. The people will not be able to contain it. So the light was coming gradually. Gradually. The light was coming gradually. Now that light that was brought to Luther, when it moved, the people of Luther had created a religion. People are Lutherans today, and they could refer to Luther the way I'm referring to him. I went to preach somewhere. And then I said, oh, you mentioned Luther. Hallelujah. I'm a Lutheran. But you don't know that I'm talking about something else. But that light has made an illusion. But which light is that? Is the one that he heard that came. He never met it. When he came, it was a painted light.
Right.
Because Luther was no longer there.
Right.
The light of Wesley made Wesleyan. The light of Wesley made Methodist. Amen. But Wesley had moved. Because if Wesley was to be here today, he would not be a Methodist.
Right.
He won't be. Luther would not be a Lutheran. He won't be. These were men who fought for the progression of the Word of God. And they knew it, that the Word was supposed to move from where it was to where they were, to where they are, and to move them. They will not. If they sat down to organize, then they will be guilty of what they were fighting.
Right.
So today, I went to the States. I went to the grave of Brother Brown. I met people standing there praying. And I was trying to imagine what would be their prayer points. They were praying in the grave, at the grave. Very passionately. And you say, we don't have problems. We do.
Yes.
We have a bag of it. Amen.
Amen.
What's the problem? It's inability to accept what God is doing now.
Amen.
Let me show you that. In Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13. Just before. Mark chapter 13. And verse number 33 and 34. The Lord Jesus spoke this into the future. And when I finish reading and explaining what is there laid on my in my heart there, it is left for us to know, because many of us are patting him by the on the at the back as a little child. Oh, you're doing well. No. The Word of God, you don't need to pat it. You get into it. Amen. Mark 13 and verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. I'm sure it's not talking to the people of Paul's time. Amen. Because Paul came out and told the people, relax, the Lord isn't coming now. Amen. There's certainly going to be a falling away first, and the man of sin will be revealed. Now, in that season where the man of sin, we are the ones living in the days when the man of sin is going to be revealed. Is this thing? So he wasn't talking about Paul. He was not talking about the 1,000 years from when he was making this statement. He was not talking about the 1,500 years from when he was making this statement. He was speaking straightly to the believers of Singapore from the 1980s, 1970s till now. He was speaking to the last generation from the time that the message struck in 1933. Behold, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so have I sent you with a message to forerun my second coming. He was not our second coming. He was to forerun the second coming. And if you take note of that, then you will follow wisely before a good thing becomes evil in your hands. Then listen to the next verse and watch it carefully. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. The Son of Man, the Son of Man himself, Christ, taking a far journey, about 2,000 years, and gave authority, or who left his house, and gave authority to his servants. Do you see the plurality of the servants there? Servants. And every man to his work, and commanded the potter to watch. Now there is only one potter there, and that's the messenger of the age. Praise the Lord. But after the potter, there are many servants. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Waking you up. There are many servants. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, My fear now is, who are those people who make themselves servants without being called? Two. And what about those who raise the hands of those who are not called? Somebody could have submitted, would have repented, but you went at the back and told him, yeah, do it, everything's okay, do it. You encourage your party against the will of God.
Right.
Falsehood is not about those who propagate it, but those who support it.
Right.
You support it. In a simple way, when you have the opportunity to talk, you don't talk straight. You dance this way and dance this way and want to preach that gospel of inclusiveness. We don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is direct. That doesn't mean that if you don't believe me, I will not greet you. If you don't believe me, I will not come to your house and share and fellowship. And if you have anything, you share and whatever. But when it comes to the word of God, we must tell ourselves the truth.
Right.
Where we stand. I cannot be in everywhere. I cannot be everywhere. You have to be identified with some place.
Right.
And with the word. Amen.
Amen.
So he says here, he left his house. God is not building houses. He's building one house of faith.
Yes.
And he's building that house by the word. The revealed word. Now, the word has been spoken. The potter has opened up. Yes, the potter came and opened. But there are servants that should work in those, in that particular house. There are servants of different categories, but majorly five. There are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, there are pastors, and there are teachers. One church may not have all of them, but they're going to be there, not for the church, but for the body, for their house, for the bigger picture, for their house. And let me tell me, if I am not deprived, like some brethren who are, like some of our brethren in Lebanon, before they took the bonus and began the fellowship. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are people who say, I can fellowship online. And God will listen to them. But if I say, in Nigeria, that I'm going to fellowship online, when I'm not restricted to have fellowship, then I have a problem.
Right.
Yes, brother. Please. Let's get that straight. That the technology God allowed us to use is not to take the place of God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not to take the place of God. It's not to take the place of fellowship. It's not to take the place of submitting. Because the rapture itself is a gathering.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the pattern. The potter is there. The potter is waiting for the master.
Right.
The servants were chosen not by the potter but by the master. Right. But the servants had depended on the potter to open. And he did open.
Right.
Then, the householder, those servants, they have people lining up behind them. In the vision of Abraham, beyond the curtain of time, they call the group, these are Abraham family. That's what they call the group. Not Abrahamites. No, it's not so. He said to him, these are those who believe your ministry. These are those you brought to the Lord Jesus Christ during the time of your ministry, in your ministry. Because he said, oh, we're not so many like this in our family. He said, no, it's not about natural family, but spiritual. But we have those who put up the photograph of Brother Branham like this, and they are baptized. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
They hold the pillar of fire, and then they are baptized. So what if I cannot print it? So I'm out.
And they will not speak against that. But they will speak against somebody who reads from the Bible directly. No, there's a problem. There is a problem. Amen. So you find out that he said that there are servants there. So let me just conclude with this. One, do you believe in the fivefold ministry?
Amen.
This fivefold ministry, does it include voice of God? Is voice of God fivefold ministry?
No.
I'm not looking for Brother Richard's answer. And I'm not also asking you to answer. Yeah, please just think about it. Because somebody wrote to me and said, the Lord is blessing us, we're blessing our fellowship, and we're following the voice of God, the messages, we're paying our tithes there. It sounds good. But it is foolishness.
Right.
Because you don't know when you repeat something that has happened before. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. And you think the fool doesn't believe at all that there is no God. No, by his doubting, he rejects the way of God and goes about to create his own ideas and is beckoning on God to accept it. Oh, you know, when the Lord Jesus would just say, oh, this brother, he stood for Brother Brown, you cried for him. And because you cried for him, you cried for John Wesley. Because of that, heaven is yours. There's nothing like that.
Right.
They ate from Jesus. He gave them food they ate. They were healed. On the day of Pentecost, how many got the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Where are the 5,000? Where went the 4,000? The will of God, he said, my father, my mother, and my brothers and sisters are those who hear the word and do it. It is one thing to hear the word. When you are going to do the word of God, it brings you into now. Because doing the word of God is bringing what you have heard into reality. It is no longer history. For you to believe what you have heard is to put it to practice. And not to talk about it, but to put it into practice, to live it. You have to live that life of the work.
Right.
Is there a fivefold ministry? There is.
Right.
Is the fivefold ministry a tape ministry? No. A book ministry? No. Books don't preach.
Right.
They do their part, but they don't preach.
Right.
The books cannot baptize you. I have something to read from you here from Brother Brown's ministry. I'm going to read something to you. The books don't preach. And if you read the books and it touches you, you still need a preacher.
Right.
There is a living ministry, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And don't claim it if you don't have it.
Right.
Amen.
No, you don't get it by claiming. Oh, today because I have left all the churches. I just feel, yes, Lord, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Right.
You don't hear it that way.
That's true.
Those who are given a ministry are vindicated in their ministry. Amen. You will see it clearly. There is consistency in it. God is not haphazard in his attitude. He is straight. There is a continuum. You can see it clearly moving. Praise the Lord. He's not dying out today, then they resurrect tomorrow, and then we're epileptic next tomorrow. No. It is consistent.
Right.
It will flow, and it will be vindicated, and God will honor it.
Amen.
Now, don't think because you don't accept it that it is over. No, brethren. Let's leave that. Don't be familiar with it. I see in this church, for example, oh, we have some relatives. Oh, yeah. No. It has nothing to do with that.
Right.
Don't support it because you are a near kin. No.
Right.
If you do that, you can't get the blessing. Look it unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Is that scripture?
Is that settled in heaven? Yes, it is.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus is the author and finisher. Brethren, now that you say you believe, then you have to be separated.
Right. That's true.
We don't follow everything. Oh, you know, I'm just following everything. I'm just following everything. Yeah. Who gives you communion? From which hands do you take communion? I want to remind you that the communion table is identifying with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is not, it is mockery. You are mocking him.
Yes.
So who breaks this bread for your communion? That's why the servants are there. One potter, many servants.
Mm-hmm.
Who is an elder? Oh, he's an elder of the church. We don't have a pastor, but we have an elder of the church. Who made the elders? Elders don't make themselves.
Right.
It will take an apostle to do that. Yes, or the five ministry to do that. To say, stand in charge, because these people, there is no pastor around here. You take charge until such a time that God will raise a God called ministry.
Amen.
We need to stand on behind the God called ministry. So somebody was a deacon in the church. Like it happens in Africa. You visit a place, you see a deacon, you met him next 2 years. He's a preacher somewhere. It happened in Uganda, and I went there. This brother, I can mention his name. In the Luzira church, because it's a testimony now, I can mention that, Brother Wilson. He left the church. He started out with some Congolese. Started running everywhere. I came to Uganda and I gave him a call, because for me, I will always call. So long if I can have your number, I will call. Brother, I can't find any church. Oh, you didn't hear? The Lord is doing so much with us. We are here, there, and all over. Simple. Brother, you call to do what you are doing.
Right.
It is good. It will sound good in the good time. But every ministry has its test. When it comes, if you are standing behind such things, such shallow ground, you will sink. Amen? Then I called this person. I said, brother, you see, there was a problem, this, that. No, when there is a problem, you don't go and start going everywhere. You go back home first. And allow, wait for the Lord to deal with you. That's true. And then I said, okay, brother, my prayer is that the God of heaven finds you if you are his. And God did it. God did it. One day he came out with his wife and came back and just knelt down and started crying. And the pastor prayed for him and called me over the phone and said, there's something for you to do. Just accept it. But let him stand in the front of the church and apologize. It is important. We don't receive people back anyhow. You just get out and come in and get in and come out. No. The scripture says in that tabernacle that was built, you get out, you enter from this point, you go out from another point. You don't back the Lord. You don't back the altar. It was very important. So when that has happened, humble yourself, come before the people. Don't try to justify yourself. Humble yourself, because the body of Christ is greater than your mind.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, the body of Christ. I'm just talking to us this morning because of that vision that I had,
right.
That experience of the prophecy that was sent to me.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Christ is greater than every one of us put together. a million times, a billion times. No matter how many, whatever we can achieve, what testimonies is happening around us, the body of Christ is the only house that He is building.
Amen.
No other. There's no other. So if you have believed, then you need to separate unto it. You separate yourself and walk humbly and support what God is doing. You can see it. In this generation, the householder is to bring things old and new. Yes. The householder is to bring things old and new. Where there is no new thing, there is no God.
Right.
Behold, I will do a new thing. Where there is no new thing, no. There is no God. He said, after the dragnet, which was the ministry of Abraham, Jesus ended the parable in Matthew chapter 13. And the disciples walked with him. As he walked, he said to them, he said, I want like us to read it, Matthew chapter 13. So we read it in the exact words that he meant. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Let's read 51. Look at what he said. He had ended the parable, and he said, Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yeah, Lord. I thought he should end there, because he had given the parables for the seven church ages already. It's completed there. Then he added, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure. Look at it here. You got a treasure? You can have it. But if it's not given to you, you can bring nothing. Amen. Out of his treasure, things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished this parable, he departed thence. So, but what is this? Is this a parable? This one is not among the parable. It's a ministry. It's the ministry of the servants. There are householders there. Some 100-fold, some 70, some 60, some 30. But you must be called. There's so much eagerness to want to do something for the Lord. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But listen. One time somebody said, let me run. Joab, let me run to the king and tell the king the news. Joab said, you are not to run today. Right. You can run another time, but today, the news that is to be carried, you have to be choosing to carry this kind of news. And he sent the one to run. And then he said, I also need to run. And he ran. And he ran faster. He was accepted. He ran faster. And got to the king. King, may you live long. The battle went this way and that way. Oh, king, glory be to God. And the king says, stand aside. You are not called to run. And the other man came slow and steady. It's not about how fast. It's not about how slow. It's how are we going to finish.
Right.
Better is the end of the matter than the beginning. How are we finishing? He came down straight. Then he spoke to the king. And the king said, what of Absalom, my son? And in his wisdom, because he was called to carry that message, in his wisdom, he passed the message the way it ought to be. When the angel came to Daniel, he said, I've come to give you skills. If you have the word of God, why do you need skills? But the angel came to give him skills to understand. Daniel had already read from books. He read the book of Jeremiah. He knew what the prophecy was saying. He thought 70 years. The prophet said 70 years, and 70 years has come. Lord, he began to pray. But the angel came there and said, beyond this, I've come to give you skills so that you will understand. That, yes, God said 70 years, but he was hiding something that beneath this, there are 70 weeks of 70 prophetic weeks. and you began to spread it to him. Why does he need skills? We need skills. But how do you get it? If you are called, you will. If you are not, follow. Brother Brown said, seek among you a teacher of the word who stands consistently and line up behind him. He said that. So if he has said that, who have you found that is a teacher of the word and that is consistent? I was telling you in the last lecture I preached here, I sent some quotes of Brother Branham into a group, and somebody came up, oh, I need clarity concerning these quotes. And then I asked him, because I know he's a quotes man, are you asking me for more quotes? Because if I send you a quote and the quote is confusing you and you need clarity, I suggest that we go back to the word of God. That's the place where, that is where it has been settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So if you allow it to settle in your soul, then you are settled. The earth is not settled, but you can be settled in your heart by believing what is settled in heaven. God being the God of order. God sending the Lord Jesus Christ as a final authority. It is unto Christ that we are gathered. Every other man is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent them. They didn't send him. He used them. They didn't use him. He lead them. They don't lead him.
Right.
And his bride will be pointed to him directly by the servants.
Amen.
And if you have been pointed in this last generation, get back to the word of God.
Amen.
And blessed is he that is not offended in this word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed is he that is not offended in this world.
Thank you.
It's just like my testimony this morning, coming from Fiji. Amen.
Amen.
How the Lord dealt with me that the fourth night, and it changed my view. From now, I'm not looking for acceptance. If somebody feels bad about it, no problem. But it's God's business.
Yes.
To lead those whom he has chosen to hear and follow. But my prayer, as we continue to stand, God is going to judge every preacher. And that is true. That's why the statement came, if you be sincere and make the people to believe you, there will be nothing impossible unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues down. God requires sincerity from every preacher.
Amen.
Amen. Those that he has called. So sometimes our talk might offend you, but look beyond that. Look to what God is doing. We cannot be accepted by all of us. We cannot please everybody. Our judgment might not be what your expectations are, but you look at the doctrine. It is the doctrine that is important. The doctrine and what is pointed to. If it is not the doctrine of Christ, close your Bible, take up, walk boldly, you don't be afraid, and say, I think this message is not lining up with the word of God. Not to say that this message is not lining up with the newspaper review. Not to say that this message is not lining up with some quotes of the prophet or here and there. Because if you want quotes, we can give you 100 quotes and it will flow here and there. But we who have been called to follow, we know what the Spirit said to the churches. May God bless you this morning. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. You sent your word,
yes,
for our healing, the healing of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard how that people want to be with the majority. Many times we are guilty. Also, Lord, as I was a few days in Fiji,
yes,
the people were there rejoicing with the word of God, but reflection casted me back to where I was coming from. where there are fightings and quarrels about what, who and why, how we believe. But oh Lord, everyone that you have called, you have vindicated, and there is no excuse.
Yes.
But when Paul fell on the way to Damascus, the Jewish fathers never saw it, and they don't care about it. He fell. Witnesses were there. But what he heard, they did not hear. And that's the difference. What we have heard tonight, what we have heard in these last days, there are many that have not heard. But how will they believe as we tell them?
Yes.
Oh, Heavenly Father, humble our hearts as we continue to stand in this truth. I pray for your children here, your bride, that grace will be their portion. Dear Lord, many who are trapped in opinions, may you deliver them this morning. Out of opinions of men, out of personal ego and personal thoughts and line of thinking, back to the Word of God. The Word of God is respect of no one. The Word of God will only lift up God in the person of Jesus Christ revealed. I pray, Lord, may this Word bring deliverance. May this Word bring healing. May this Word bring revival in our soul. A hunger to go back to the Word. Oh, even your manservant that you used in this generation, we thank you for him, for his life. He raised up this Word as a standard day and night. He lived it. And when he left, confusion came. Lord, that does not make him untrue. We believe your servant 101%. And we know that you sent him. And we stand with what he has taught us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that grace, this same grace, be passed down to the people that hear us. Jesus, you prayed that you do not pray for these ones alone, but for many that will listen to them, that will hear your servants. I pray, Lord, grant grace that people hear thy truth and they stand with it. We are not here to entertain people or to make them feel good, but Lord, if it hurts, let it heal. That's the most important thing. Let it heal our insincerity. Let it heal our fear to stand. Let it heal our fear to declare. Lord, if a man will love something, he should die for it. Help us, Lord, to stand for this truth, to die for this truth. Then, Lord, we know that our heart is affixed. Holy Ghost divine, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.